It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Bill Ford Tough Studio on the Fan, free Odyssey app, and CBS Sports Network in 28 minutes from now. So, yesterday you had the Home Run Derby, and we think about Home Run Derby, you think about one man, even though he didn't participate last night, and that is Pete Alonso. And I was thinking about him, even though I didn't watch the Home Run Derby, I was thinking about him yesterday because it's just, that's his thing. I mean, he loves it more than anything else, and I was just shocked he didn't participate this year. And then I hear the Garrett Wilson signing, which is unprecedented. It's just an unprecedented thing. It hasn't happened before. And there's no reason to do it. There's no reason to do it. We kept saying that, and nobody's ever done it. I mean, and every other GM's like, wow, they didn't have to do that. There's no reason to do it. So it brings me back to something I was thinking about early on in this season. Conventional wisdom from a general manager is that we've got a guy who's in his 30s. It's Pete Alonso. His contract's up at the end of the year. We don't know what's going to happen. He could get hurt sometime in July, August, September. He could fall off the face of the earth and just go into a complete hole in July, August, and September. And there's no reason to give him a contract. There's just no reason to extend him because you know he's going to opt out at the end of the year. He's having an unbelievable year. He's been their most consistent offensive player the entire year. So the whole culture thing that the Jets are trying to do and this and that and goodwill and whatever. I mean, why is it so crazy to think that giving Pete Alonso a contract right now in July before the trade deadline, why it's so crazy to think that that's not a possibility? And everybody will say, well, if you're Pete Alonso, you say no because you want to hit the market. All right, that's conventional wisdom. If you're David Stern, just say no because you don't know what's going to happen. But Pete Alonso wants to be a Met. Pete Alonso is someone that I think, if given the choice, would never take that uniform off. He's now going every day. He's climbing up the Mets record books with offensive numbers. It would just be one of those things that maybe it's not the smartest business deal like the Jets. We don't know if that was the smartest business deal, but it means more than just that.
Are you going to pay him more money than you're paying him this year?
Yes.
So this year he's averaging, what, about 30?
I would probably do the same thing for...
So he's averaging about 30.
Yeah, I would do the same thing for 5 years.
Yeah, again, you know, different sport, different ages, different analytics to look at. You know, Pete's year was not great last year, and somehow they came to an agreement to keep Pete in the uniform this year. He got off to a reasonably good start, you know, but he's not leading the Mets in home runs, by the way.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, you know, that's Juan Soto.
Yeah, 23.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, if Pete had, you know, maybe 30, 35 home runs... I'd agree with you. I think he's on pace for having what would be a normal year for him, 45-110.
Yeah, but I mean, he's also leading them in average. He's leading them in RBIs, total hits.
His average has been going down.
Yeah, okay. Because it was very, very good.
But significantly.
So you think he's on the decline? Because if that's the case...
I would like to keep him here, but I think his own expectations would have to be... I think a little bit tapped down because I'm not going to give him $35 million a year for the next 4 years.
So what would you give him? What would be the offer that you would give him?
I mean, you know.
Because you also don't want to insult him and then this be this thing again in the offseason between Steve Cohen and Scott Boras and Pete and all this nonsense.
Right, all right. So my thing would be I'm not giving him an extension right now. I want to see the rest of the year. I want to see clutch spots. I want to see him come up with. Look, I'm a Pete Alonso fan. You know that. I wanted him here, and I wanted them to extend him. I'm glad that they did it the way that they did it because there really is an incentive for him to play well under the current contract status, which I think is smart by the Mets. I'm not ready to give him an extension yet. I want to see what the end of the year looks like. I want to see how many games he plays. I want to see. Look, he was a mess in the field there for a while. Couldn't throw the ball to first base.
Well, yes, I know. I mean, it was ugly.
I mean, that's part of it.
Yeah, I just...
You know, Freddie Freeman and Matt Olson are better first basemen than he is.
That's, yeah, of course, that's fair. But what he means to this organization and him leaving at the end of this year...
I mean, like, he may not leave. He may just opt in.
He's not opting in. There's no way in hell he's opting in.
It all depends on the way that it ends. I mean, if he ends up at 45, 120, he will opt out. Yes.
And
if they make it back to the, you know, at least the National League Championship Series, which, you know, with how many guys they have on the injured list right now is ridiculous. And they start getting guys back here, this could be, you know, another September to remember, which is what you're hoping for. But you're hoping for him to be right in the middle of it.
It's just.
By the way, with Juan Soto in front of him, he should be.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, of course. I mean, that was one of the main things we had talked about prior to the season. It's just so different and so interesting, and to have. All right, we're gonna have like David Wright's celebration going on, right? And David Wright remained a Met his entire career, and you know, homegrown Met, and you know, leading a lot of offensive categories. All this stuff. His number's gonna get retired, and here you have a guy who's currently on the team, who is now surpassing these numbers that David Wright had, a guy whose number's going to be retired, remained a Met his entire career, and we don't even know if he's going to be here next year. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense.
The best-case scenario for Pete Alonso is go off here with the games remaining after the All-Star break, lead the team to the World Series, and then sit down and say, I want an extension because I just hit 45 home runs and knocked in 125 runs. And that would be the best case scenario for him. But if, you know, if he hits 38 home runs and knocks in 105 runs, you know, good season, not great season, then he has the ability to stay here on his own.
Yeah, which he could opt in. I still think we forget, I guess, because of the start that he got on and the home run against Devin Williams. I mean, he was miserable last year.
That's right.
I mean, absolutely.
The fact that he's here and they're paying him more money than any other first baseman, at least in this year,
yeah,
is nothing short of a miracle given what he did last year. And I think part of that is Steve Cohen recognizing that the fan base wanted Pete here.
Yeah.
I really do. I do think that there is a part of that. Like, the Garrett Wilson thing is completely different. He's 24 years old. He's ascended every year. He's played with 8 different quarterbacks. He's going to be one of your cornerstone players, and you're going to want to pay him, and you're going to want to keep him happy, and you want to keep him motivated, and you want him to become a leader of your team.
Yeah, right.
Then you have a new coaching staff.
Right, but the yes, all of that is true. But the similarities to me are that It's a move that signifies more than just a contract to a player, and it's something that's not normally done. So those are the two similarities for me, where the Mets and the Jets could be a similar thing. Like, it's this is a, hey, you're going to be a leader. We're building around you. And it's also an unprecedented thing, like where the Mets could be like, you know what, this is maybe, you know, people don't do a lot of this, contract extensions in the middle of the season, but it means more than just the paper that we're signing it on.
Well, one team has already spent over $300 million on their franchise, on their players, and that is the Mets. And the Jets, you know, they have a salary cap that they have to work in. And if you can get a guy to sign a contract that you think you can end up saving maybe $10 million down the line with, and then be able to sign a top-end quarterback for big money, you know, that's smart business from the Jets' standpoint.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we talked about, you know, when Chris Kreider got traded away, and we talked about, you know, who's the comp for Chris Kreider, where it's, you know, someone who had spent his entire career there, and great player, and, you know, but he just didn't win a cup, you know, fan base sort of split on whether or not his number should be retired, stuff like that. I mean, there's... And it's tough to find a comp. I think we came up with David Wright was one of the closest ones. But, like, to think, like, there is no comp to what is happening here with Pete Alonso. There's at this stage of his career, maybe when guys were, like, 37, 38. But at this stage of his career, in his early 30s, being one of the most productive players in the history of the organization and still could leave next year. I mean, we talked about with Aaron Judge when he became a free agent, and then obviously after the big home run season and San Francisco and all of that, but he stayed. He ended up staying. But, I mean, that felt unprecedented, but now he's here and he's the captain and everything else.
But the thing about Aaron Judge, however, is that for the regular season at least, he is literally one or two in terms of the best baseball player in the league.
Yeah. For sure.
So you could say Shohei Ohtani is one just simply because he does more things And he hits for average. He hits for power. He steals bases. And he actually pitches. So I guess you would say Aaron Judge would be number two on the overall list. That is like, that's one of the best players in the league.
Yeah, of course. But just the point being that it's just, it feels like when you are a homegrown player.
Is Pete Alonso a top 20 player in the NFL, in Major League Baseball?
If you want to talk about offensive player, top 20 offensive player.
Was Chris Kreider a top 20 NHL player at any point in time in his career? I think he made one All-Star team.
Yeah, I guess. So the answer, I guess, would be no.
But Pete has made some All-Star teams.
Oh, of course, yeah. I mean, and, you know, the fan base is not necessarily split on Pete Alonso either. Like, I always heard Ranger fans, like, arguing about Chris Kreider.
No, I mean, I personally love Chris Kreider. And 13-year career, came up big in the big spots. You know, that's the difference between him and Aaron Judge.
Yeah.
Aaron Judge had the great regular seasons. You know, Chris had a couple really good regular seasons. But he always came up in the playoffs and showed up.
Yeah.
He's omnipresent in the playoffs. And that was something that you could always count on as a Ranger fan. It's something that's one of the reasons why our memories are so fond of him.
Mike in Marlboro. What's going on, Mike? Good morning.
Hey, what's up, Boomer and Gio?
Hey, man.
Yeah, I just want to bring up, everyone brings up David Wright as this all-time great Met. And to compare it to Pete Alonso, where he's at his stage, and if the Mets should re-sign him or not. David Wright's big contract was one of the worst contracts the Mets ever made. He had one good year, and they paid like 8 years at whatever it was at the time, $20 million a year or something. And it was horrible. You're telling me that that's not a possibility for also Pete Alonso?
Sure. Anything's a possibility. I mean, he could get hit in the head with a baseball. Like, anything's a possibility. But, you know, David Wright ended up declining because of his spinal stenosis at that point. I don't think that Pete Alonso's getting an 8-year contract from anybody. That was a long time ago where those contracts were being handed out to older players still, where that doesn't happen in Major League Baseball now. So, I mean, if you're operating under the we can't sign anybody over 30 to a long-term deal at all, then yeah, there's no way that Pete Alonso is going to stay here. But I mean, 3 more years, 4 more years, I'm completely fine with that. I love that.
You know, Pete signed a 2-year, $54 million deal. $30 million this year, and then the player option for next year. And, you know, his statistics, his clutch performance will dictate whether he opts in or whether they give him a 3-year extension. That's how I see it. And it's only because of his age. You know, if he were under, 28 years of age, I think it would be more apt to get a 6-year deal. But the fact that, you know, he's going to be 31 going into next season, and, you know, there weren't a lot of suitors at that number for Peter, or Scott Boras would have had him going somewhere else.
And I also think, you know, assuming the Mets make the postseason, you know, what he does there is going to be a huge factor in this. Because remember, as bad of a season as he had last year, especially in clutch situations, we came in the next morning after he hit that home run in Milwaukee.
And everything was forgotten.
We were like, he can't leave now.
If he has a Daniel Murphy type, 2015 against the Cubs.
When they let him go.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, they're not going to, that was different ownership. They're not going to let Pete Alonso, one of their most popular players, go.
Yeah, I just remember going, now after he hit that, I was like, he's gone, and then he hits that home run. I'm like, we can't go anywhere now. We've got to keep him.
And, you know, and his contract reflects, I think, an appreciation from ownership, but it also reflects his age and his lack of production last year.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
Jerry looks good in his white BEF golf shirt today by Flag and Anthem.
Yes, I love that white one. It makes my tan pop.
It looks good on you guys. I don't really look good in white.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically...
It kind of washes me out.
Fair.
You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying.
Out when you go on TV and see Sports Network is going to be rejoining us here momentarily.
That's right. And everybody will be able to see those shirts. And Flag and Anthem, who has done an amazing job with your charity.
They have.
Also donated all the shirts to our local Ryder Cup. and the money that, because we still had everybody pay for the shirts, but instead of the money going to Flag and Anthem, it was all donated to a local charity this year, the Neighborhood House. Last year was the Winter Center for Autism. We'll have a new local charity next year, and they just, I mean, they could not be a better partner.
No, they are. So Flag and Anthem is a great partner of all of ours, and of course the radio station. But, you know, last year you came in here and you were crowing, and you had the Ryder Cup trophy with you, and oh, the Portly Villager, we won this.
Yeah.
You know, and I know that it seems like, I know you're wearing the Sable Inn shirt today in response to your loss yesterday.
Yeah.
But I just don't feel like you've given the Sable Inn team its due, because you've kind of like downplayed the whole thing. And I know you really don't want to talk about it, but I think you need to.
No, truth be told, I am waiting for CBS Sports Network to join us.
Oh, okay.
They have.
Have they? Oh, yeah, they have. Yeah, yeah. Oh, all right. So here it is. Perfect. Right. Because I promised Carl of the Sable Inn that this would happen on television.
Oh, okay.
So he could have the video of it.
I was wondering why you were downplaying.
I was not downplaying. I just hadn't mentioned it yet because we were talking about other things. We had a long show, and I was going to get to it. I mean, I win with grace. I mean, I lose with grace, Boomer, and I win with grace as well. But we lost as a team. We ended up losing 41-37. And congrats to Sable Inn and Carl and Chuck and that entire team as they got the cup back. It was sad to see it leave the Portly last night and go back to the Sable Inn. But I'm happy to report that my team, my partner, we took 3 points.
Oh,
But
now you sound like Phil Simms.
No. But I would. But
I mean, really do.
No. Wait.
Yeah.
I would rather have lost 3 points and had the team win the cup than win 3 points and then not win the cup.
I do appreciate that sentiment, because you know when Phil threw for 513 against our Cincinnati Bengals and we beat him.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, he didn't really even care about the score. All he cared about is that he threw for 513 yards.
No, I'm bummed. I'm happy with the way that we played. I'm glad that we took our 3 points. That was the goal, but I'm not. It's just I'm bummed this morning. There's no two ways about it.
I can tell that you were bummed, and I didn't realize that you were waiting for CBS Sports Network, which I do believe is a classy move by you.
Yeah, I mean, and I told him, I said, listen, we're not on TV till about 7:30, so I promise you'd be on TV. So it'll be around, you know, whenever they join, I'll make sure that I give you the proper respect. So yeah, they got it back, but it's close every year. It's close again this year. But I'm the one who has to announce the winner too, which is a real tough pill to swallow. So.
Yeah, but you know you're a big part of this whole thing now. You have really inserted yourself.
Yeah, I mean I have. It's the most important like sports related day for me in the entire year now, and everything that I it's like with Bill Parcells, that NFL Films clip. This is why you lift all them weights. This is why you do all that S. It's true. It all leads up to this.
You don't lift weights.
No, but it's not. You're 100% right. But this is more like the driving range and the lessons and the whole thing comes down to this. And I was pleased with the way I played, but not having the cup hurts. Really does. So
I can tell.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to
tell you. Disappointing.
Yeah, but I mean,
be fair.
Individually. You know,
you're Phil Simms.
Yeah, I mean, I was on fire.
And you went home and told your wife, team lost, but I was a winner.
Well, he came in and told me that. I'm his work wife.
I'm telling you, like, and I feel like I've given them proper respect. They earned it, every bit of it. I just would like to say I've played a lot of horrible golf. I had an out-of-body experience during this Ryder Cup yesterday. I didn't know who I was. I was calm. Something just happened to me. Unfortunately, it wasn't enough in the end, but it felt great.
You can only carry yourself, G.
No. It's a team thing. Win is a team, loses a team. But it's going to be a long year watching that, looking at that cup behind the Sable Inn bar next to the cans of what they have, the surf sides and everything options that they have. It's the cups in the middle of that.
All right, Jerry. Hey, speaking of Joseph had his first tournament, did he not?
Yes, he did.
That is so cool.
It was, I will tell you, having never done that before, it was a very neat experience. It was the PGA Juniors of New Jersey or whatever. Very cool experience.
Man, he could be the next Chris Goddard.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but he does love playing.
Jerry,
that's for
dream
sure.
Starts somewhere.
You're right. It started 2 years ago, and here we are now, 2 years later, and he's better than me already.
And you told me that he's out there putting at night.
Yeah, he loves it. The backyard.
All right.
Put the floodlights on, and he'll be out there until he has to come
in.
So,
man, we could see Jerry in about seven years at the Masters.
You'll play with him in a couple weeks.
That's right.
Kind of neat.
Yeah, at the Breezy Open with the Bob Does Sports guys coming up at the in a couple of weeks, I guess a week from Friday.
Yeah, he's beyond excited for that.
That's awesome. Yeah, I can't. It's going to be a really, really fun day. So
these kids are good, though, man. Like, watching these kids play. 11-year-olds posting 72s. It's unbelievable. It really is.
Yeah, it's a new world, man.
A lot of good players.
It's a new world. Well, that's great. He does it, and I think that's very cool. We'll always be rooting for Joseph.
I appreciate that. Thank you. We are brought to you by Sansone Auto Mall, Woodbridge, New Jersey. The Garrett Wilson news is the news of the day. 4-year extension, $130 million. Next hour, I should have some reaction from Ocho Cinco, a former wide receiver himself, as I just found that this morning.
What do you think? You think he's happy, or I think he's got to be happy?
I don't know. Right? I just started rolling it before I came in. I don't know.
With these, you know, these older athletes, sometimes they get a little bit edgy about these things.
I would imagine that he's thrilled.
It's got to be.
I mean, he probably knows Garrett a little bit, the whole thing. I would think that he would be absolutely thrilled for
him. I will bring that to you in an hour. What if we had the Finer Francesa show?
Francesa.
My bad.
Yeah.
Finer and Francesa. So they both watch Superman.
Okay.
And it is interesting.
We're talking Stu Finer.
Stu Finer from Barstool, yeah. So I'll start with him as they went and saw the Superman movie as we get the different and opposing views.
Just saw Superman 3D. This movie might be the best superhero, super fiction, action movie ever. Ever.
This movie is so bad that if you ask me to go sit through it again, I would want major, major cash before I could do it, okay? It was pure torture.
Okay, fair enough. We go back to Stu as he was doing his review.
I loved it. The acting was absolutely unbelievable. Soup to nuts, villains, heroes, special effects, has it all. I'm going to see it every single day of my next 4-day vacation.
I was thinking about inflicting pain to myself just to keep myself awake. That's how bad it was. This movie was dreadful.
I got one more from Stu as he continues to rave about it.
It was an 11. You must take your children right now to see it. You must go by yourself and see it. It was phenomenal. The best thing I've ever seen in my life.
There's a super dog. Who came up with a super dog? I mean, we all like dogs, okay? And I didn't like the dog getting beat on in the movie. It bothered me. But hey, who came up with a dog with a cape? When did that arrive? I watched Superman for years on television. I never saw a dog with a cape.
Oh, that is so good. I mean, that's not even, like, that's just a parody of himself at that point. Because we all love dogs, okay? Dog with a cape. I mean, where do you get this? Now, apparently he got it from, Fleeks was telling me, like, the 50s. That dog was in the comics. So it's not like they came up with it just for 2025. So, you know, the Fleegs and the Eric and Ron Congress.
You could get two more different
opinions
about this movie.
And as you search it, a lot of people had Stu's opinion, thought it was great, and a lot of people had Mike's opinion, thought it was awful.
It's amazing because we've had a number of callers this morning saying that they thought it was great.
Yeah, I mean, I really think that if you're a superhero movie person and you're keeping up with these things, you love it. And if you're someone that is going to see the Christopher Reeve Superman and expecting that in 2025 action movie, you're going to be really disappointed. That's what it feels like to me.
I was thinking about inflicting pain to myself just to keep myself awake.
Someone get me a butter knife so I can pry my eyeball out of my face, okay? We all love dogs, okay? We all love dogs. Oh, but man. A stupid-eyed dog with a cape. God. 1955? Is that when the dog with the cape was out there?
Yeah, March 1955. Crypto's first appearance in the comic book. So that's 23 years before the Christopher Reeve movie.
Let's go to EJ in Newark. What's going on, EJ?
Boomin' Geo, what's good?
What's good, EJ?
Hey, man, I'm with Mike, man. That movie was trash. and what it was, like, it started off with him getting the brakes beat off of him. Like, he fell out of the sky, and then his dog had to come and get him. This whole team was getting trashed, man. Look, they came, They beat up his robot. He had robots taking care of him. They killed the robot. They beat up the dog, and they stomped his ears together. It was crazy. Like, and I think, like, I was mad because I'm like, all right, let me go. I went to iPix to see this thing. You know how much iPix is.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm like, I should have just watched it on the Fire Stick. This thing was, it was trash. Like, the whole, he was getting beat up to the point where they slammed him in the rock, and regular civilians came and walked him up out of the crater that they damned him into.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like very super to me, EJ. No. I mean, geez.
No, like I understand getting beat up, but not the whole, not like this, man. He's supposed to be Superman. Like, and you think about it, the movie before this one, he got killed by Batman. Like, come on, like no superpowers. I'm like, yo, come on, you ain't doing nothing. Like, Batman is better than him right now.
EJ, great call.
You know what? I gotta say, I mean, otherwise, how many people have actually gone to the movies now?
Yeah. Well, I'm sure you could probably watch it at home now, too, right? Like, I mean, you could watch almost every movie at home that's in the theaters. You just got to pay, like, $30 for it in your house. So, yeah. But, I mean, people wanted to. Wow. This was a big deal.
Man, this is a big deal.
There's one more for Mike.
Man, it's trash.
One more for Mike.
You got monsters in the movie. You got robots in the movie. You got other superheroes in the movie. You got a damn dog with a cape on. You got. What are you talking about? You got Lois Lane driving a spaceship. What the hell's that have to do with Superman?
There you go.
I mean, he's smashing out Lois Lane, right? I mean, that's his girlfriend.
His movie was so bad, I was expecting to see Superman put his penis in the popcorn and have Lois Lane grab his penis when she thinks she was getting a handful of popcorn. That's how bad, folks. Man. And we all love popcorn. We all do.
Now, let me ask you something. Do you guys feel like you want to go see this movie now?
No. I'm not a superhero movie guy. No, not at all.
No. Nope. But had I been, yes, I could see where you're going there. Bring some intrigue to the movie.
Yeah.
That is true.
I feel like I got to go see it now just to see like which side I'm going to fall on.
I think I would rather spend the $30 at home and watch it.
Okay.
And then see who's right, Mike or Stu. Or EJ or the other callers. Who knows? Seattle's Cal Raleigh won the home run derby in Atlanta. He beat Junior Caminero in the final round. Locally and closer to home, there was a participant that we know.
Representing the pinstripes, the New York Yankees, hailing from the Bahamas, a man who's known for his moxie, exciting play, and his ability to rise to any occasion.
With 17 bombs on the season, fresh off a multi-homer game last week, DJ, play me some of that sweet jazz music!
Jazzism Junior!
So a nice introduction. It was fantastic. He didn't perform so well, though. He had 3 home runs.
By the way, Al needs to get one of those American League jerseys because it just says Al on it. Like, you know, I mean, it does. I don't see A.
That is true.
I don't see AL. It's just Al.
You see Al.
Yeah, so that would be that's a great gift for him.
It's that the would lowercase be letters.
Yeah, look at that. It's Al. He's got to get that jersey.
We should get. What is his number? 47, right?
Yeah.
We could probably custom make one for him.
Yeah, 100%. I saw that this morning. I was like, I got to get him that jersey.
That is pretty good. Here was Chisholm afterwards, only hitting the 3 home runs, eliminated rather quickly. So would you do it again?
I told him next year, I said, if I got more than 20 homers by the half next year, I'd do it again. And I actually try to hit homers every swing. And so, you know, so trying to keep my swing. No, it's not that I wasn't trying to hit homers. I was trying to keep my swing and hit homers instead of just trying to hit everything in the air. I was trying to keep my line drive swing and hit homers. But, you know, it gets better.
I'm sure it will get better if he is asked again. Of course, it would have been cool to see Aaron Judge participate, but no chance. He's not doing that. That said, he did meet the media. So what would a 10-year-old Aaron Judge thinking about being in the All-Star game 7 times now already?
I wouldn't believe it. You know, you kind of dream about it. You know, you dream about getting a chance to even be here for the first one. And then getting the chance to come back 6 more times is pretty incredible.
Well, he will be a part of this one, as we know. So will Pete Alonso. Did you bring up Alonso this morning?
Yes.
Okay, so Alonso did meet the media as well. John Heyman asking the question about his impending free agency that is coming up. Here was Alonso, just not on my mind.
I mean, I got to finish this year out strong. I got to finish this year healthy. And ultimately right now, like, I'm just thinking about what I can do, to help my team every single day.
He said,
"Can't even believe it."
He says he will do.
It's a weird response from John to that question, you know? That answer from Pete. Wow.
He says he'll deal with free agency at a later date. His future at a later date.
The free agency stuff, like, I'm not really worried about that right now. I'm sure at the end of the year, like, I'll have plenty of time to think about that. But, yeah, right now I just want to be healthy and help my team contribute and do the best I can to help win.
And then given all the right answers yesterday, Twins center fielder Byron Buxton said he has no plans on going anywhere, wants to and plans to finish his career in Minnesota. He does have a no trade clause that he does not plan to waive. And you have the Rays are about to be bought. Stu Sternberg has agreed to sell the team $1.7 billion to a group led by Patrick Zalupski, a Florida-based developer who plans to keep the team in Tampa.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Yesterday we were talking about some of the things that were popping up on our social media while we were on vacation, and I mentioned how this guy, this musical artist and this rapper from Plainview, Long Island, Hoodie Allen, had done a remix of a Jesse McCartney song from the early 2000s that was so catchy, and it was like I was playing it on the boat and I thought it was awesome, and then I learned more about the guy and I thought he was great. So I mentioned how Hoodie Allen and the song was awesome. So I get two responses from Hoodie Allen yesterday. The first of which is he's thanking me for the shout out, and then he goes, "Remind Boomer Esiason," and he tagged you in it, "Remind Boomer Esiason that we go way back."
We do.
And he posts a picture of himself at probably 6, 7, 8 years old, somewhere in there, with a Boomer Esiason Jets jersey, a backwards Jets hat, and you with your hand on his shoulders.
Yeah, that looks like he came at training camp.
Yeah, it had to have. I mean, which is just amazing how this whole thing works. So that's really cool. That was the first thing that was cool. And then he also sent me a message where he said, "You blew up my phone with every kid from my high school calling me. 2 million views on TikTok. They care zero. Boomer and Geo mention 100 texts.
There you go.
I thought that was very cool. So I told him, I said, "Hey, if you're up before 10 o'clock, I don't know what type of lifestyle Hoodie Allen's got. I don't know if he's partying in the middle of the night with his success with his Pretty Face song. But yeah, I told him, you know, it would be great if he called in and we talked about his experience meeting you and everything else. Because, I mean, the more I think about it, I guess it's not that crazy that a kid from Plainview went to Jets camp and met you, but just a funny coincidence.
Yeah, that was really one of the more enjoyable parts of playing for the Jets when I first got here was the training camp aspect of it and how many people used to come to training camp.
Yeah, yeah, I used to love. I don't know what it's like now as a fan. I mean, I see it when we go and do the shows there, and it doesn't look like the access is what it once was, but it used to be. There's the picture on CBS Sports Network of Boomer and Jets training camp with a young Hoodie Allen, which is amazing. So, but I mean, the access used to be like incredible. I went to Mankato, Minnesota for 5 years in a row to go to Vikings training camp, and you were just like there with the guys.
Well, the thing about for us, like you'd have to go to Mankato, but the thing for us at Hofstra was, basically, if you were on Long Island, you could come to practice.
Yeah, I used to go to the Jets practices, too. I remember seeing Bill Belichick and Bill Parcells. I went to one of those seasons training camps, and it was awesome to watch. It was in your backyard.
For Cincinnati, we would go to Wilmington, which was in the middle of nowhere. We'd still have a lot of fans come up there. And then one year, my last year in Cincinnati, we were down in Lexington, Kentucky at Georgetown University. And a lot of people came there, too. And that was actually a really great setup down there. But the actual best setup was Arizona up at Flagstaff.
Okay.
Because every day it was like 72 degrees and it was bright sunshine and you were 7,500 feet altitude.
That's perfect. I mean, it was so hot everywhere.
Yes.
Like during those months. There.
That was amazing. Then you come down to the valley. And back then, we were playing at Arizona State in Tempe. And I'll never forget, we had a Raiders preseason game. It kicked off at 8 o'clock at night. It was like 115 degrees on the field.
Insane. So one more thing I wanted to mention as far as like Long Island or local music guys, because it's popped in my head. So, you know, some of the most popular songs right now, like Chapel Roan's Pink Pony Club, this Olivia Rodrigo put out this album, are written by a guy, or co-written by a guy from Long Island named Daniel Nigro, who is 43 years old, which is the same age as me. I'm trying to figure out exactly what town he is from, but he's like Massapequa Park. So he's from Massapequa.
Rex Yerman's hometown.
Yeah, right. He's from everything happens in Massapequa Park. So he's a 43-year-old guy from Massapequa Park who went to Fordham, and he is killing it. You would never know because you got to look at the credits of the song. So like I was looking,
that's where he makes the money.
Yeah,
that's who makes the money.
So I wanted to shout this guy out too for doing such an amazing job.
Is he located here in New York or is he down? Is he somewhere?
It doesn't say where he is now. I don't know if Fleegs has. Oh, here, Nigro moved to Los Angeles to become a songwriter. So he's got to be out there now. But, yeah, Nigro and singer-songwriter Chapel Roan worked together for years. Just insane. I mean, that and you would never, ever know that this guy who is my age from Long Island went to Fordham where Bogish went. I was like, do you know this guy? He's the same age as you. You guys went to Fordham. And he said, no, he didn't know him. But anyway, so there you go. Hoodie Allen, Dan Nigro, Boomer and Geo got you back. Jim in Norwalk, what's going on, Jim?
Hey, guys, good morning. Hey, on this Mike Frances Superman review, that entire podcast is one of the most hilarious things I've ever listened to. And what Mike is actually doing is comparing the movie to the show Superman that he used to watch in the 50s with George Reeve. And he actually says that people used to tell him that he had a face like George Reeves. Absolutely hysterical.
Oh,
if Jerry could pull that portion up, you guys would be dying laughing. So,
that is funny, Jim. Yeah, Mike has always talked about, like, I've heard him throughout the years really enjoy, like, his face. he would, you know, I mean, I'm good looking. I have a good face.
Oh, come on,
I'm serious. He said things like this. I'm telling you. He's like, you know, I'm just, you know, dog. I mean, I got a better looking face. I mean, that's just the way it is. Because he was a bigger guy, but he loved his face.
Okay, all right. But, like, you say that to your partner?
Yeah.
Like, you've never said that to me.
Because I don't think I have a better looking face. If
yeah,
I did,
but
maybe.
I've never said that to you.
Well, that's not your thing. Yeah, there. I'm looking at George Reeves here. Do you see Frances and George Reeves? You know, people will come up to me. They say, you know, you remind me of Timothy Chalamet. Your look.
Is it Christopher Reeves?
Well, George Reeves is the old TV show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You got to go back to George Reeves and the TV show.
Okay.
And a lot of people come up to me and they say, you know, you remind me of Clooney, the way that your face is constructed.
No, come on.
And, well, he never said that, but.
Okay.
You know, the other day I was, I don't go food shopping. I don't, but I did have to pick up a couple of things. And someone came up to me and said, hey, I mean, the resemblance that you have to Brad Pitt is striking.
I don't see it, actually.
The George Reeves,
no, I don't see it.
And not like me and that guy from The Bear.
No, not at all. Not even close.
Yeah. You know, all the time people say, you know, you could be, if you wanted. No, I didn't want to. It was never a guy who wanted to do stunts or wear a costume, anything like that. But if I wanted, at a certain age, 21, 22, I could have been Superman.
I mean, George Reeves is not a bad-looking guy.
No, of course not. I mean, but it was just, you know, it was not my thing. The costume, everything, you know, wearing the cape. Just, I mean, I could have done it. I mean, if I wanted to do it, I could have done it. But it just, you know, I'm not a guy who likes to, you know, role play. You know, it's not my, not really an actor. Never was. Never really felt like that was a thing for me. But I could have been Superman. We're back.